The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at Visa, the sports betting network, Visa.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, all proudly brought to you by BetMGM, where sports betting lives. Remember when Hot 97 New York, where hip-hop lives. It's where we are. It's Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin this week. How you doing, Wyatt? What's happening?
Good, Gil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well.
Excited. We got NASCAR on at 9 o'clock today, so I got something to look forward to.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hopefully you can get through these next 2 hours without being too distracted.
What are we talking about today?
Oh, we got stuff. First of all, Kelly, not in town. Kelly and Bet Bash, not a big enough town for the both of them to be in the same town at the same time.
So, you know, North Carolina's calling his name.
Today on the show, it's Bet Bash week. Spanky's Bet Bash starting tomorrow in earnest. So we will have nothing but Bet Bash guests. Not nothing but a whole bunch of Bet Bash guests rolling through the studio this week. Super flattered about that because we're kind of on the other side of town. So the likes of Michael Craig from Right Angle Sports, Rob Pizzola from The Hammer, Matt Buckalter from Plus EV Analytics on Twitter, Jason Weingarten will be in studio, Ed Fang from The Power Rank, Rufus Peabody. We're looking forward to everybody being in studio. Today, though, the calm before the storm, but what a show. Paul Carr will join us to talk Premier League preview, all of his season-long bets in the Premier League. And, of course, he'll also have the postmortem on the United States women's soccer team's exit from the round of 16. Oh boy. What a brutal ending to what was probably their best game of the tournament. But you get to the penalty kicks after the nil-nil tie through the added time and the extra time. And we're up 3-2 after three of those kicks. Then a miss by Rapinoe. A miss by Sophia Smith. And Sweden makes their fifth and final shot to force extra kicks in the penalty kicks. Our goaltender Naher makes hers with a sixth. They match. And then Kelly O'Hara misses the seventh. And the double save that wasn't on the final shot from Sweden. And that, through VAR, is the determinant. We'll get the postmortem from Paul Carr, all of his Premier League stuff. If he has any Women's World Cup thoughts as well, we'll get into that. Aaron Schatz will join us to talk professional football. He is the editor of the FTN Football Almanac. We can't wait to have him. I just looked up at the screen. He was just on Good Morning Football. So a double booking. But we get him on the heels of Good Morning Football. Aaron Schatz, who has done this almanac for years in a new home now at FTN. We'll talk to him about all his season-long thoughts, including who their projections have as having the best record in all of football, who they have as having the worst record in all of football, which may surprise you even more. And of course, bets to follow within all of that. Wes Reynolds will join us a little later to talk golf, FedEx Cup, what was this weekend with the Wyndham, and of course, in terms of the FedEx Cup, who got eliminated last? Just who would have thunk this some months ago? So we'll get into all of that with Wes Reynolds and his most controversial college and pro football takes as well. I do, and Paul Spohr, by the way, baseball coming up. I do want to start with baseball, though, Wyatt, because, and this is one of those segments where it's so wonky. There's so many numbers. I'll just try to make sense of it. The goal of this exercise, because we've done this with Cy Young, with Tom Tango's numbers. We've done this with other sort of markets. But I wanted to, this weekend, try to assess between FanGraphs and Baseball Reference where there wasn't consensus between those two websites through their models and where we could find bets that still exist at this very moment that are the single best bets on the board when it comes to division and to make the playoffs. We will use DraftKings numbers for all of this, but let's start with chances of winning their division in the American League. And really, when it comes down to the difference, there's consensus on most things, as you would imagine there would be. But for varying reasons, the likes of which we won't get into here because it would require a whole, deep dive into how Baseball Reference comes up with their numbers, how FanGraphs comes in with theirs, but it has to do with things like strength of schedule, run differential, and things far beyond that. But just suffice it to say that the four divisions where there is, the three divisions, I guess there's a fourth. The NL West is kind of a difference in opinion, which we'll get to momentarily, but let's start with the American League. There's a difference of opinion on who could win that division, the AL East, between Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. Baseball Reference has the Orioles winning that division 74.1% at that rate moving forward, and Fangraphs gives the Orioles a 48.3% chance of winning the division. That's a huge difference between those two services, 74.1% and 48.3%. You will also see that the Rays would make sense then in that same division. Baseball Reference only gives the Rays a 23% chance of winning the division, and Fangraphs, more in line with what the current standings say, have the Rays at a 43.6%. So if you see it on the screen, you'll see that Fangraphs has it pretty even between the Orioles and the Rays as the standings sort of reflect the current standings. And Baseball Reference has a huge gap between those two. Now, the Orioles currently stand three games ahead of the Rays here with more than a quarter of a season remaining. So the question becomes, is there a bet there? If you believe Baseball Reference's number that the Orioles have a 74.1% chance to win the division, then yeah, minus 165 at DraftKings would be a good bet. If you believe Fangraphs' numbers, by the way, it would be a bad bet. Because minus 165 is what you can get at DraftKings for the Orioles to win the division. If you believe the 74.1% at Baseball Reference is correct, that should be about minus 285. Now, with all of these things, do you take them sacredly? You shouldn't. And do I think Baseball Reference's numbers are probably a bit off? I do. So do I think minus 165 represents a great bet? I don't really gravitate towards that as much as I would some others. By the way, same exercise can be done for the AL West, where again, Baseball Reference, we're talking about a division where the Rangers only lead the Astros by 2.5 games. 2.5 games, 3 in the loss column. Baseball Reference has the Rangers 80.1% to win the division. Fangraphs only at 48.8%. Baseball Reference has the Astros then commensurate with that 16.7% to win the division, whereas Fangraphs has them at the more reflective of the standings, 45.3%. So no real bet on the Astros at plus 120 to win the division either way. But again, if you believe Baseball Reference's 80.1% on the Rangers, then minus 140 would represent a great bet on them to win the division at DraftKings, because really it ought to be minus 400 based on the Baseball Reference number. Now, does that pass the eye test? And I'm a guy who loves the Rangers and had them pre-flop season win total over. It does not to me. So I'm not saying, you know, Baseball Reference's number. I guess the whole thing with this is, while I think Baseball Reference's numbers are probably a little out of whack, are they so out of whack in all of these that it wouldn't induce a bet? Here it wouldn't. Either with the Orioles or the Rangers, in my opinion, it wouldn't. But we're getting to one that would. And that's in the NL Central, where these are just so different between both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. Baseball Reference has the Brewers, who lead the division currently, lead the NL Central by 1.5 games over both the Cubs and the Reds. Baseball Reference has them as only a 23.1% chance to win the NL Central. Fangraphs has them at 62.7%. So again, it's Baseball Reference that seems to be way off what the standings reflect or what the market is. So at minus 115, if you believe the Fangraphs number of 62.7% chance for the Brewers to win the division, the minus 115 price at DraftKings would represent a great bet, because that ought to be close to minus 170. It all depends who you believe here. But here's who I really wanted to hone in on. The Chicago Cubs. To win the division, Baseball Reference has the Cubs, who are 1.5 games back, tied with the Reds behind the Brewers, as a 60.5% chance to win the division. Fangraphs only has them at 25.9%. Again, it's the exact inverse of the Brewers. At DraftKings, you can get the Cubs to win the division at plus 195. Plus 195. At 60.5%, again, if you believe the Baseball Reference number, that ought to be minus 155 as opposed to the plus 195. Now, do I think, again, Baseball Reference is a little out of whack? Yes. But does plus 195 still represent a great bet to me? It does. And this on the heels of Mark Borchardt coming on this show, this is going to pollute it a little more, because he was just on a few weeks ago before the trade deadline, said 12-1, I love the Cubs to win the division. So try not to let that tear you off the point that it's still probably a good bet at plus 195. Still probably a great bet at plus 195. We'll go to make the postseason also, because these are fascinating as well. And again, without getting without going into it one by one. There are incremental differences, and maybe there are slight bets. Like if you believe, you know, reference has the Yankees as an 8.6% shot to win, you know, to get to the postseason, whereas Fangraphs says 21.4%. Might there be some value on, you know, DraftKings has them plus 425. That's a bad number. Is minus 525 would be a good number on the Yankees to make the playoffs if you believe Baseball Reference only having them as an 8.6% chance. But like, I'm not going to advise you to make that. So let's get back to the Cubs. Once again, if you go to the Cubs, Baseball Reference, this is now to make the postseason. Baseball Reference has them as a 77.6% chance to make the postseason. Fangraphs only 43%. Their number is plus 105 to make the postseason. If it's 77.6%, that should be minus 345. So let's distill the Cubs. The whole point of this exercise was to really focus in on the Cubs. Per Baseball Reference, the Cubs should be minus 345 to make the postseason, minus 155 to win the division, as opposed to plus 105 and plus 195, which is where you can get them at DraftKings right now. And by the way, shop around, because I think BetMGM has an even better price on them to win the division, north of $2. Easier schedule remaining than the Brewers and the Reds. Better hitting, much better run differential. Brewers just split with the Pirates. Reds have zero pitching. That whole exercise, basically, to me, the best bets then would be, as out of whack as Baseball Reference's numbers might be, they're not so out of whack that those don't represent great bets. Cubs to win division. Cubs to make the postseason. We'll come back. Paul Sporer's thoughts on that and more in baseball. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Won't take you but a few seconds. And stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. That won't take you but a few minutes. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. It is Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. Wyatt, sorry about the wonky number infested first segment there. I apologize.
Well, when you first sent the text, I'm like, okay, what are the abbreviated things mean? And then you told me, I was like, okay, figure it out now.
Yeah.
I liked it.
A long way of saying that while there are incremental bets that you can make, like, oh, I think the Yankees should be a 12% chance as opposed to a 5%, like that kind of thing. Really, the stark thing is the Cubs.
I liked what they did. Big Braves fan, so I thought they hit very well against the Braves, minus the first game. Only game and a half out. I like it.
Two of three from the Braves. We bring in Paul Spohr from Fangraphs to discuss this and other things. Of course, Sleeper in the Bust podcast as well. So much that he does all around the baseball landscape. How you doing, Paulie? What's happening?
I'm doing very well, Gil. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'll get through this first before we get to some other matters. I was just talking about what are the best bets on the board to win division, to make the postseason. And really, it just looks like the Cubs right now, again, the numbers that are available currently, and this was you know, again, juxtaposed against both Baseball Reference and Fangraphs numbers. But the Cubs, if you are to believe Baseball Reference, which I don't completely, but the point is that there's probably a bet here. They should be minus 345 to make the postseason, according to them. That's too high, but I get it. But you'll get the point of this. Minus 155 to win the division, and what they're priced at right now is plus 105 and plus 195, respectively. Do you agree with the fact that those are both bets right now?
I see the case for both for sure. I mean, you look at that division. Just look at a normal standings page with run differential on it that codes it in red and green, and they stick out because they're the only green team in their division, the only positive run differential. The Brewers, I still think, have a good shot. I like them better than the Reds. That's easy to say now. The Reds have lost six. But the issue with the Reds, and a little bit of a wet blanket at the time, even when they were hot, was they just didn't have enough pitching. They didn't go out and get much. So it really is Cubs-Brewers right now. And I don't know how you look top to bottom 1-26 and not feel better about the Cubs. So I totally get it. Love that B. Woody's back for the Brewers. It's a team I have a hard time getting away from completely, but I do like Cubs bets. Yes.
All right. Who among these teams is not done? Not. And again, we're still talking about over a quarter of the season left, just a little more than a quarter season left. Who is not done?
We're almost at the quarter pole.
Almost at the quarter pole. There you go. Proper use of the quarter pole, ladies and gentlemen.
It's one of my favorite things that you do. Are you going to give me a list of teams or you just want me to pick?
No, I'm going to give you a list of teams and you tell me who is not done. In other words, who still has a pulse? Who still has a pulse among these teams? The Angels. Oh, God. 7 games now out of a wild card. I'll give you the group and then you can tell me. Yankees, somehow only in quotes, 4.5 games out of the wild.
It is wild.
It is wild that they're only 4.5 out. I guess I could throw the Red Sox in there too at 5 out.
Sure.
But then the National League teams, Padres only 3 out, having lost 2 of 3 to the Dodgers thus far. They play again today.
Huge game today.
Yep. Huge game today. And the Diamondbacks, who are 1.5 out, are all of the, who's still alive based on what you've seen on the field?
Definitely the Padres. That's a team I haven't been able to get away from, even at their lowest points this year, for obvious reasons, right? It's not just the star-studded talent. I just believe in this ball club. Now, losing Musgrove is tough. That is definitely tough. So this isn't a resounding runaway winner of this group. Just the position that they're in, the talent that they have, I do still think the Padres are well-positioned to make the playoffs. The Diamondbacks were a team I really liked coming in the year, the Baby Snakes, but it was always about that offense because then it was Gallen, Kelly, and what else you got. My guy Brandon Pfaadt has not come through the way I had hoped. So I'm really nervous about where the Diamondbacks are. They're kind of in a similar spot to the Reds where they just don't have enough pitching. And then the Red Sox and Yankees, man, you know, it'd be foolish to just completely bury either of them. The Red Sox getting Sale back very soon and then Story back hopefully soon. We don't really know there. Maybe that's why they got Luis Urias. I actually like the Red Sox better than the Yankees. And I know they're only a half game difference, so that's not crazy there. But I'd probably give the Red Sox the second best pulse of this group.
Second best pulse. None of those teams that I mentioned can win a division. We're clear on that.
No, right. I mean, you know, barring something that becomes a documentary, you know,
that's 30 for 30. What if I told you?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay. Here we've asked this version of some version of this question year after year. And I want to sort of ask it again here at nearly the quarter pole, which is what is the team under the radar that if they sneak into the postseason is set up in a way that they could actually make noise?
Milwaukee. 2.5, 3 aces. I mean, you're talking Burns, Woody, Peralta. I say half because Peralta's a bit volatile. But, I mean, you're talking when he's on, that's another ace. That's 3 aces in the playoffs. Are you kidding me? Shut down relief at the end of the bullpen. Now, getting there is a little tough. The bridge from the ace, from Burns, Woodruff, Peralta to Devin Williams can be bumpy. But they've also got hitters that I could easily see turning it on for a month long. Yeah, absolutely. The Brewers is a team that probably won't get a whole lot of love if they make the playoffs. But they could easily get going. And it wouldn't surprise me if they made like a really deep run.
All right. Maybe somebody wants to just, you know, say whatever we talked about the Cubs earlier. They're like, I didn't really buy into that. But what Paulie just said about the Brewers might induce a futures wager on them. This question has nothing to do with betting. But of all these teams, think about what your pre-flop thoughts were before the season started on the Angels, on the Yankees, whoever, Padres. Mm-hmm. Who's the most disappointing, the single Padres, most disappointing? Yeah. Padres.
Padres, for sure. I mean, you know, the Angels, we kind of expect the disappointment. Unfortunately, I know people that watch your show regularly know that my moronic face likes to continue to bash my face into the wall on the Angels. And I was getting hyped again. So they dropped 6 in a row, including getting smoked by the Seattle at home to make sure I go back to my place of, you know, misery with the Angels. But we kind of expect it there. The Padres, we thought at the very least, they're easy in the playoffs, and then we'll see what happens from there. Now they're fighting tooth and nail to even get to the playoffs. And like I said, losing Musgrove is big. So while I did advocate for them of that group that you gave me, they still have an uphill battle.
Okay. So the Brewers would be set up nicely if they made the postseason. Which is the team that is either top of division right now or knocking at the door? So I'm talking Orioles, Rays, Twins, Rangers, Astros, Braves. They're obviously not the answer to this question coming up.
Correct.
Brewers, Cubs, Reds, or Dodgers, Giants. Which are the teams that you would be shocked if they made any noise in the postseason if they slipped in? Which are the ones where you're just like, paper tiger, I don't buy them. I don't care what their record is.
Cover your ears, Gil.
I know. Here
it's
it comes.
It's your Giants. Come on.
I was waiting.
Come on. It is, right? Like, Barry's not coming out. You know, they don't have Tim Lincecum reincarnated somewhere. I love Logan Webb. He's actually one of my faves out there. Big fan of guys like that, those grinder workhorse types. But that's really it. I like Cobb. I respect Alex Cobb. Always have, dating back to his Tampa Bay days. But he's so difficult to believe in for the future because of his health profile. So you never really know where you're at. You take him 5 days at a time kind of deal. And then what other starters did they really have there? And I know it's a mishmash sort of lineup that can get going, but that platoon back and forth thing, that's made to work over 162. I'm not sure if it works as well in a short series. So it is your Giants. I'm very sorry. And they prove me wrong regularly.
Yes.
I mean, even their entire run was proving everybody wrong. So anytime we try to, you know, use logic and statistics on the Giants, they laugh in our face. We talk about devil magic with the cards, but we should probably check in on San Francisco and see what kind of devil magic those tech billionaires have cooked up.
Paul, I was about to call you a horrible human being, but you saved yourself. Right there at the end. Good job. All right. Last thing then here. We got 90 seconds. What do you like today best on the betting board, or did you do any DFS for us today?
I got some DFS that I'm looking at. I'm going big. You know, today's slate is a little interesting where there's a lot of risk. You can get risky if you want to go crazy hitters, but I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go really strong pitching. I'm going to go a Strider-Peralta combo. I mentioned Freddy Peralta earlier. He gets Colorado in Milwaukee. Give me that all day. Give me some Texas with my hitters. I know they're dropping some guys. I really hate the Josh Young loss for them, but go Carver, Ezekiel Duran. I'll even go lefty-lefty with Corey Seager here. I'm not afraid of it. And then get some Brewers on the hitting side as well, including my boy Christian Yelich. So I'm focused on Strider Peralta on the mound and then Texas and Milwaukee as far as hitters go.
Yeah, I lied. One last question, because Strider is on the hill tonight, or hill today, I should say. Listen, tonight East Coast time. Here's the thing. A whole bunch of us have him to win the Cy Young. I know that ERA is a little higher than we'd like it to be. Is he your NL Cy Young? If you had a vote right now, who's your guy?
Absolutely, Spencer Strider. I'm not going to get hung up on the ERA. A few extra homers there at a 1.3 rate, which isn't amazing, but use your eyes, right? Look at the pitcher. He's the best pitcher going right now. Probably in baseball, Garrett Cole's right there quietly being amazing. But Spencer Strider, my NL Cy Young right now. And I don't want to say it's not close, but it's pretty firmly him.
God, I hope you're right. You know, Tango doesn't have it that way, but I hope you're right. Because
2 months can go a lot of different ways right now. If those Cubs keep emerging and it's Justin Steele getting it done for them down the stretch, he's somebody who could really make some noise.
Yeah, 3.61 ERA. Just bring that down just a notch if you could.
Yeah.
That'd be great. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gil. Take care.
My man, Paul Sporer, at Sporer, S-P-O-R-E-R. Paul Carr, Premier League Preview.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions. Pro, as in become a Visa Pro subscriber, getting all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a Visa Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. Overnight, Women's World Cup. I don't know how many people, what do you think the percentage of people now the U.S. has bounced are like even watching this stuff at night now? I wonder, unless you have a bet on it, how many people are just watching it as fans in the U.S.?
I felt bad that I didn't watch the USA game, that I didn't know they lost.
Middle of the night, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like Paul said, is that the TV markets, they all set up the prime time for USA to win their group. And when they didn't, it kind of just screwed everything up.
Yeah. Last night, in case you missed it, England beats Nigeria, gets by Nigeria in PKs. So a 0-0 tie. They win it down 4 converted kicks versus 2 Nigeria. So England advances into the quarterfinals, and Australia beat Denmark 2-0. So the unders cash there. Two more games tonight. The final two in the round of 16, Colombia, Jamaica, France, Morocco. We'll get to those momentarily with Paul. And of course, his Premier League preview. But first, the postmortem on the USA with Paul Carr at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter from True Media Networks. Of course, the Expected Value podcast. And don't forget also, Paul also doing things at Ringer with the Ringer Gambling Show. We have so much to talk about on all counts, but let's start with Team USA. Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm good. On the bright side, I don't have to get up to watch the US and any more knockout games.
That's true.
It is kind of fun too.
Can I ask you one question?
Absolutely
random. So Rapinoe and Sophia Smith and Kelly O'Hara missed their kicks.
Yep.
Were two of those three substitutes? Do I have that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
O'Hara and Rapinoe both came on.
O'Hara and Rapinoe. I also noticed that one of Sweden's subs missed. Has anybody, this might just be because of this one game, but the thought does occur. Has anybody done a study at all on a subs in PKs and their performance versus starters?
I haven't seen one. It always gets talked about. It was big when England in, what was it, Euros a couple years ago, they had two guys, I think, Bukayo Saka and someone else who I think came in late. It was almost one of their first touches. It's so hard. Like any penalty kick study, the sample size is so small. You know, I mean, there's going to be what, three or something at this World Cup, and there's maybe two or three in a Champions League season. And it's so tough because, I mean, you could go, you know, you look at every World Cup penalty kick shootout and you're probably only in the 20s or something. So I haven't seen it. It'd be super interesting just to, is there any thing behind it? I kind of don't think there is.
I was going to say, does it pass your brain test even? Like, is there something to that or is it just coincidental?
I can see the, I've barely touched the ball. You know, if I think, back to my amateur high school playing days for basketball, like if you threw me in the game and suddenly I had to make game winning free throws, I feel like I wouldn't be as good as if I had played some, just getting a feel for everything.
I agree with that. Yeah.
But also these athletes are the best at what they do. I kind of feel like you'd pull them off the street and they could make a penalty.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Rapinoe different had, things for different people.
Yeah. Rapinoe hadn't missed a penalty kick since the Eisenhower administration, right? She hadn't missed
basically.
It. Yeah. So yeah. What, I mean, what's your final takeaway then? What's in retrospect?
The U.S., all their underlying numbers were pretty good. I mean, they had like 9 expected goals in the tournament and 4 total goals. So they created a lot of chances. They weren't always great chances, though. So there's obviously room to improve. You know, there's questions about some substitutions or lack thereof. They played fairly well. You know, they easily could have advanced. They easily could have beaten Netherlands. Things could have gone their way a lot more easily, and you know, they could be in the quarters right now and we'd be like, ah, they're okay. They're getting by.
Why don't we ever hear that on the broadcast, on the mainstream media broadcast, expected goals? Or is there a way of saying that in their speak? We just don't have finishers. Mm-hmm. Like, is that their language of saying the same thing?
A lot of times it's coded like that sometimes. I'll tell you, Fox has the information because sending it to them for this specific tournament. A lot of times you'll hear it, you know, they're just not finishing, or they're getting their opportunities, or, you know, cause you hear coaches talk like that all the time. They don't say expected goals, but it's how they think. So yeah, it varies some by the broadcast. World Cup broadcasts often tend to get, aimed at a wider audience, maybe. So a little less in the weeds than maybe a MLS or Premier League broadcast where, you know, you have a hardcore audience that's watching. So that's a little bit of it too. Kind of the emphasis that can come.
It would just
on
be a,
that.
It would just be a shade more intelligent. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As opposed to they're not trying. Look at them smiling and dancing. Right.
Yes. Like, so there's I think there's always room to add information because then you open up your analysts to be able to talk about these things.
Of course.
You
know? Yeah.
The US, you get some advanced stat like the US, is stringing a very low number of passes together. Well, then you have video or the analyst can tell you why, or, you know, cause those are things like, I'm not sure, but I can give you the number and then let you run with it and explain things to me. Maybe the number is not any good and you can explain why that is. So yeah, that's where the stats are always can be a good tool to enhance the broadcast.
All right. Before we get to the Premier League and your preview there, let's see, do you have a play on either of the two games in the two final games in the round of 16, Colombia, Jamaica, or France, Morocco, anything tonight?
I have an under 1.5 on Colombia, Jamaica at +150. Both these teams just take really low percentage shots. Like you look at all their group games and they're like the very bottom two, I think, among the knockout teams as far as high quality shots. So I expect this to be low scoring. Neither one's been here before. Well, Colombia's made the knockout stage once, but they never won their group before. So big opportunity, big stage. I really expect this to be kind of tight and not a lot of scoring opportunities, especially in regulation. So yeah, under 1.5 at +150 I've played here.
And any futures play now with, I guess, what is it, 10 teams technically left?
Yeah, nothing that jumps out at me. I mean, England is still your favorite around +200 or so. I mean, Spain and Japan, I think there's a real case for either one of those being the best team so far. The problem is they're going to run into each other in the semifinals and you're kind of, I mean, I know Japan whooped Spain 4-0, I think, when they met in the group stage, but you know, that was just one of those. You finish every single counterattacking chance and it works out. So, I mean, I like either one of those. You know, Japan's a longer shot. So if I were taking a flyer right now, it would probably be on them.
How's that Germany ticket of ours looking right now? Not so good.
I think it's going to pay off in about 2 weeks. Yeah, I think we're in good shape.
All right. Premier League begins this weekend. Oh, yeah. 38 games. Most of the calendar used up by it. And then, of course, international tournaments in between as the season goes. I want to get to top four bets, top 10 bets. You had a big winner on relegation last year, so I want to get your thoughts on that. You had a 3-1 hit on relegation last year. Golden Boot, want to get into that as well. Let's just begin with the biggest one, though, here before the break, which is obviously who's going to win this thing and where's the bet? Yep.
So for the context, Man City is trying to win four straight titles. No one in England has ever won four straight titles. And this is not just like the Premier League era since 91, 92. This is since ever. So since the 1800s, no one's ever won four straight titles. So
big deal.
There's the question of will Man City be complacent after winning the treble and just having done everything? Maybe. That's one level of motivation. Like no one's ever done this. You know, Man United won three in a row recently. They couldn't get a fourth, et cetera. So City is by far the best team, which, I mean, just look at the odds and you can obviously see that they're -125 or so to win the title. Straight up, I'm obviously picking City. They are the best team. They are pretty deep. They, especially in defense, you know, they picked up a couple of good defenders, but so they have a great back line that's just not going to allow a lot of goals. The only question really, again, there's that complacency thing. They were super healthy last year, City was. So, you know, if they get an injury to a Kevin De Bruyne or somebody like that, or obviously Erling Haaland or Rodri, one of these key guys, that's the question. Like, can they hold up in that case? And they also lost a couple guys, Gundogan and Mahrez have left. So, an attack, just a couple questions on that front. You want to play City at -125-ish to win the title? I'm fine with that because you know, that it's the right number, but they're the best team. And there's no clear-cut number two. I have to take a number two. I'm going with Arsenal at +550 is the price I have them at. Just because, look, they were the second-best team last year. If they hadn't had one of their center backs get injured in March, they might have pushed City, but their defense kind of fell apart after that. So they've, you know, they brought in some reinforcements in different places and kind of all the places they need. There's a few questions about who's going to score the goals. Not that they lack options, but they almost have too many options. And they just haven't really proven, you know, okay, who's the choice here? So, but if I have to pick one, I mean, I'm going with that second favorite that of Arsenal. You can make a case if you want, you know, you kind of squint and like, I can see Liverpool bouncing back. I could see Man United, you know, getting together in a full season under the new manager. Beyond that, you know, I don't think there's much of a case for any of those teams, but City is the obvious favorite here.
That was you've torpedoed my follow-up question, which was, it's great that you have, though, because I was going to say, if I came to you from the future and if I told you if it wasn't Man City or Arsenal, who was the team that did it? What it sounds like is you're telling me you're the crazy one. It didn't happen.
I mean, I guess, you know, just kind of going down the list, but I guess it's Liverpool.
Okay.
You know, they underachieved almost all their numbers last year. And, you know, they brought in a bunch of new pieces. So, you know, the spin would be, hey, Jurgen Klopp is a great manager. No one's arguing that. And he's going to have this team kind of bounce back, sort it out. They've reinforced the defense, which was a struggle at times last year. So that's the, you know, there's an optimistic case for Liverpool.
Sounds like
as well.
Man City's the bet, though. Not the sexiest, but Man City at -125. We'll get into all the derivative markets on the other side again. Top four, Golden Boot, relegation, all of it from Paul Carr, Premier League preview on the other side, right here on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Turn a loss into a win with BetMGM, official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Place a same game parlay wager with at least four legs on any MLB game, and if all legs of the parlay hit but one, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $25. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions, 21 and over wager. New and existing customer offer, all promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. U.S. promotional offer not available in Kansas. Kansas City, Mississippi, D.C., Nevada, New York, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-GAMBLER. In Colorado, D.C., Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, Nevada, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming. Call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPE New York 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. This offer not valid to Puerto Rico residents. Gil Alexander, Wyatt Tomchek in for Kelly Bidlin. Paul Carr, kind enough to hang with us for a second segment here today. Premier League preview. Talked about who would win the outright. Man City, minus 125 is a good bet to Paul. Let me just ask you about this, Paul, by the way. Let's go top four first before we get top 10. Top four, which represents, of course, the teams that would qualify for the Champions League. What do you like here in the top four market?
So kind of two angles I'll take. I'll start with the short shot. If I take a short shot, so one of your, you know, 5-6 favorites, I would go Arsenal at minus 200. Obviously, you're laying juice, and this is a season-long bet, so you have, you know, factor that in to bankroll management, et cetera. But it's hard for me to see three teams leaping Arsenal. We're assuming City's going to get in because they're minus, you know, 2,000 or whatever. So if you want a short-term loan for to your sportsbook, that's not the worst thing, I don't think. But yeah, Arsenal minus 200. Are they going to make it more than two out of three times? I think so. Because all these teams behind them just have questions. I mean, they could get leaped by one or two, sure, but three of them just seems super unlikely. Again, they've reinforced some of the holes they had. They're deeper than they have been. They brought in Declan Rice, among others, from West Ham. So, you know, they've shored up some problems. They've been on this nice trajectory the last few years of just getting a little bit better under Mikel Arteta. So, you know, even if they just kind of tread water, there's no way three teams are going to jump them in addition to Man City.
What's the sexier top four play here?
Yeah, you want a long shot?
I do. Kind
of one of those get weird ones? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Brighton.
Ooh.
So Brighton was sixth last year, 9 points out of the top four. They underachieved their underlying numbers by about six goals, which was toward the bottom of the Premier League as far as that goes. You see them here on the screen, plus 400, I think. You can get a plus 550 out there this morning. So shop around for that if you're looking for it. Brighton's kind of the Brighton way. They're, yeah, I don't know, the Oakland A's in some ways, the Oakland A's of the early 2000s, not the current Oakland A's of the Premier League. And they just kind of keep bringing guys in and then selling them for a lot of money. And they lost their manager last year and it didn't matter. They may lose their best player, Moises Caicedo, may leave here in this offseason. That's still up in the air right now. But they just kind of grind it out. So they were right there last year. A few bounces go their way and they might have gotten a top four berth then. So, you know, plus 550, you want a flyer and an underdog to root for this season. I like that price.
Brighton, top four, 6-1, top four. I didn't mean to get all Keith Morrison Dateline with you there when you said it. I was like, ooh, then what happened? What about top 10? Is there a similar type bet for top 10?
I think so. I like Brentford at the top for the top 10 at plus 200. I mean, they were ninth last season and even a little bit better, and they expect a goal difference over the course of the season. Like, nobody took better shots than Brentford last year, meaning closest to goal, highest expected goals per shot, and no one gave up worse shots. So, you know, you don't have to be a stats whiz to know that if you take good shots and give up bad shots, that's usually pretty good. Again, another team that's kind of famous for their money ball type of philosophy. They do have the question of who's scoring goals, because Ivan Toney was their big goal scorer last year, and he's suspended for the first half of the season for violating the betting rules of in England. But, you know, they've got a few guys that could develop. They have a solid defense. And again, the organizational philosophy of this team is very smart. And, you know, plus 200 just seems it's low. It's a top 10-ish caliber team. This is, to me, should be a lot closer to a coin flip. So yeah, Brentford plus 200 for top 10.
You were saying they're also more Oakland A's money ball as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. They maybe, I don't know, not the original necessarily, but one of them, you know, they came up from like the fourth tier in England and worked their way up to the Premier League for the first time. And a lot of it is, you know, being smart financially, you know, find the guys cheap, selling them for a lot of money, using your set piece as well. So from a strategic on the field standpoint, do smart things that not a lot of teams were doing 5 and 10 years ago. And it's, you know, they've gotten to the Premier League. They've stayed in the Premier League only for, I think this is their third season. So they're not established, but they've just quickly kind of made this into a solid team that isn't going to blow up, and they're fairly reliable.
Okay. I want to save relegation for last because I know that's your favorite bet, and that's the one you hit last year as well. Let's go to Golden Boot. Golden Boot, tough to pick anyone here, you say, but you did land on someone.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen a Golden Boot favorite. And Erling Haaland is -135.
Massive.
Like, that's nuts.
Yeah.
And number two is what, Harry Kane at +750. I mean, usually you get, that's ridiculous. Usually you get a guy, you know, maybe +200, 300. There's a few in that like 500 or lower range. And then after that, it gets wild. But it's, I mean, if you're betting against Haaland, I think you're essentially betting on an injury to him or, you know, a couple of his teammates. You want to bet on Haaland? I don't hate it. I mean, he takes penalties. Obviously, Man City is going to score a lot of goals. Good team. Those are kind of my rules, is, you know, you need one of the better teams and take penalties. So sure, you want to do that, I'm not going to fight you with it. But the one long shot I have is Bukayo Saka of Arsenal. This is +5,000. So this is obviously a long shot.
Whoa.
But now, he took three penalties for Arsenal last year. They do have Jorginho, a midfielder who takes a lot of penalties, but he might be on his way out. Saka's young, 21, 22, had 14 goals. I think he's still got another gear left in him. You know, takes a few more shots this year. He can get in that top five in shots and make a run at the goal. So this is, again, obviously a long shot, but you're looking for somebody kind of off the board. You know, I think he's got, you know, as good a shot as anyone down the board of making a run at this.
All right. Bukayo Saka at 50-1 from Arsenal, but Erling Haaland, really the play at -135.
Yeah. And, you know, you look like Harry Kane's number two. Well, is he going to be on Tottenham? We're not really sure. Bayern's throwing money at him and Tottenham's pretending they don't want it. Mohamed Salah is 31 for Liverpool. He just doesn't feel like he can keep playing at this level. Marcus Rashford for Man United is 16-1. Still kind of a winger. He had like the best season of his life last year and was still only in the teens for goals, just because he also doesn't take penalties for Man United, for example. So, you know, there's just so many big holes. Maybe Darwin Nunez makes a jump for Liverpool if you want to do something like that, or Gabriel Jesus for Arsenal, but he's injured. So there's just all these question marks about any of these other guys, one way or the other, on the next wave, kind of in the top 10 or so.
All right. That's for the Golden Boot, or as DraftKings words, it odds to be the top goal scorer.
Right.
Yep. Make sure there's no conflict on any of the wording. All right, relegation. Yeah. Who did you hit at 3-1 last year for relegation again?
Southampton.
I remember they that. Yeah,
kind of really overachieved the year before and then didn't do a whole lot. And so we're kind of going back to a similar sort of well here.
Okay, who you got?
Wolverhampton, +300 is the price I got. And I've said these prices can vary a lot book to book early before the season. So +300 for Wolverhampton. Dead last in goals last season. Not a fluke. They were dead last in expected goals last season. If you don't score goals, that's bad, Gil. I'm going to break the news to you here. So, okay. And then they didn't sign anybody.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. Their biggest signing was a 31-year-old right back named Matt Doherty, not the former Carolina coach who used to play for Wolves. They may lose their keeper, who was really good a couple years ago, not so good last year. I just don't know where they're going to get their goals from. They have a good manager, but there's already this news out. You know, he's already fighting with ownership about not getting transfers he wants, but maybe he's on the outs. To me, this just has all the makings of a wheels fall off sort of season. You know, it's going to be late September. They're going to fire him, and who knows what's going to happen. So +300 for Wolverhampton, a team that wasn't that good last year and really should have been in the relegation race more and didn't do a lot to change things. I like them to go down this year.
All right. From Southampton to Wolverhampton, 3-1.
All the Hamptons, getting them out of here.
Appreciate it, Paul. Thank you so much, man.
You bet. Have a good week, Gil.
Paul Carr. Again, True Media Network's Expected Value podcast. And we should mention the Ringer Gambling Show as well, doing stuff there as well. We get tweets at Beating the Book. I just want to address, a couple. Doug Wedge says he got the Cubs at +210 at DK to win the division. So nice job on that. Again, shop around with all these things that we're talking about. Sam S. Gil, any tennis picks for today or futures in Toronto? Deep and talented field with some exciting day one matchups. These are massive tournaments. The men are in Toronto. The women are in Montreal. These are 1,000s, which is the notch right below the slams. That is why everybody is playing on them. The run-up to the U.S. Open, Cincinnati in between. I don't have any futures plays here. I don't have any plays for today, quite frankly. Tomorrow's a bigger slate. Probably we'll have something tomorrow. Francis Tiafoe did not get home for us in D.C. We had him at 8-1. He got beat. There was Friday, where they played two matches in the same day. And of all the people that looked sluggish playing the second match, it's no excuse because everybody had to do it. It was Tiafoe, which was really surprising. And Daniel Evans crushed him, Dan Evans from England. And at the time you're thinking, wow, that was weird. Dan Evans goes on to win the whole tournament. He was fantastic out of nowhere. Like, he was just left for dead 2 months ago. He was playing such poor tennis, got a new coaching team, and he could not have looked better in D.C. So Tiafoe does not get there, but congratulations to anyone who might have had Dan Evans. We'll come back. Now our football. Aaron Schatz joins us, the FTN Almanac. He's the editor of that. His yearly almanac at a new home. Whole bunch of football questions for him next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.